Welcome to Emerging Tech Mastery, a show that demystifies cutting-edge technology like cryptocurrency, the blockchain, metaverse, NFTs, virtual reality, the maker movement, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud, edge, and even fog computing. Strap in as we ride into the fourth industrial revolution. Emerging Tech Mastery provides actionable knowledge, regardless of skill level, from experts in the trenches. We piece together this intel in easy-to-consume media formats, processes, and procedures. See you in the future.
Hey everyone, Aaron here with another episode of Emerging Tech Mastery. I wanted to actually take a little bit of a different vibe on this one, and ironically, I think this type of show actually might be more enjoyable for people and popular because I noticed that my 8 Reasons Why the Raspberry Pi Rocks show has been by far the most successful and popular sought after show. And I was honestly pretty surprised. I guess that's the purpose of testing and promoting and seeing what people like. Maybe I'll do that more because frankly, I've been feeling a little burnt out. And you see, I've been covering all these different conferences and it's quite a lot of effort. So I'm definitely liking the longer show and then shorter show, longer show, shorter show. I also want to start doing a blog a week, probably something a little lighter, like listicle, some list of cool things you can check out, or just some ideas, you know, to kind of curate and do these roundups. I think it is nice to sort of not just keep going and going and going and drink from more fire hoses and get in more rabbit holes, and to kind of go back a little bit and say, you know, have all these topics been summarized and curated into sort of bite-sized chunks? You know, there's this whole reel movement, which I'm still figuring out as far as video, but I think there's no reason I can't do that in text and blog format, but eventually, definitely that's coming down the pipeline as well. For this episode, I wanted to cover 10 cool things to do with your Raspberry Pi. Now, I know everyone's definitions of what is cool are different, so I did try to cast a little bit of a wide net here. So if one or two of these things is cool to you, I think I've done my job. If more are cool, then that's even more awesome. After I noticed I was feeling a little burnt out, I realized, what am I doing? I need to have some fun here, and I'm gonna get to my favorite one on the list, but let's start kicking the list off and kind of share some more enjoyable, cool, fun things to do with the Raspberry Pi. Number one, create your own media center with a Netflix-like user interface, or UI. There is a program called Kodi. It used to be called XBMC. And this is something I learned from a ex-roommate who was a very techie person, programmer. And they basically had their entire media collection fed to this program, Kodi, XBMC at the time. And you basically have your own Netflix-looking interface with all your stuff. I just think that's so fun, so cool. I mean, we're in this world of endless streaming and YouTube, and I gotta tell you, you know, when the internet blips a little bit, it really makes me think, geez, what are we gonna do when all this fails? So that's a little more the old school techies and coder people is, you know, running stuff locally, running stuff on your own hard drive or maybe your own server. But I do think it's a great idea, not just from a sort of prepper perspective or disaster recovery business continuity for yourself, where, you know, if the internet goes down, you can actually still have access to a really awesome media center. I think that's really fun and cool. Number two, play games. This means any emulator, or my favorite is point and click adventure games. And this is what I was just alluding to, that I was sitting here thinking, you know, I'm working on all this content and it's getting a little grueling. You know, I've almost been going a year in, a few months here. And I was thinking, you know what, let's do something fun. So little did I know, there are actually 5 point-and-click adventure games that you can install right on the Raspberry Pi, or basically almost any Linux distribution, or many different Linux distributions. You just literally, you know, type in your sudo apt install. So I thought that was so fun, and I played basically Lure of the Temptress and Escape of the Amazon Queen and Beneath the Steel Skies Are Gonna Happen Tonight and Drascula, and then there's a 5th one I'm forgetting. Really fun. Had a blast. Most of them looked great. You have your Scum VM, which is used for playing a lot of those old school point and click adventure games that are, you know, pixel art basically. But I had a blast. It was so fun, so cool. You're going to burn up hours and hours. You're going to probably be pretty tired. Maybe your productivity will suffer a little bit, but that's okay. You needed a break anyway, right? So playing games, cannot recommend that enough. That has got to be my absolute favorite and top cool thing to do with the Raspberry Pi. 3, make it into a camera. So it's a single board computer, and you can plug in hard drives and a screen and mouse, keyboard, and other peripherals, which is actually a whole world of Raspberry Pi. I'm still in the foothills with a lot of what I'm doing and telling you, but there's so many things you can add. One of those things you can add is a camera. So I've mentioned the high quality Raspberry Pi camera before, and I actually have one here that I need to take out of the drawer and play with, so I should probably take my own advice. But it is really cool that you can give some eyes to the Raspberry Pi, so I think that's a must, and I think it's really cool and really opens up, you know, some really cool new functionality. And I've already been running this podcast on the Pi basically religiously. I'm pretty sure I haven't recorded a single thing as far as the core podcast audio interviews, not on the Pi, which is wild. I'm really deep in the Pi with recording the show, this show you're listening to, but also I'm going to definitely bring video out, and I think that's going to be really fun. So looking forward to that a lot. And I guess I'm telling you guys, so a little bit of accountability, so I actually do it in a timely manner. 4, learn how to hack. Ethically, of course. There's a program called Kali Linux, and our friend Frank, who's been on the show before, we actually have a second show and a third show that I haven't released yet, but on the last show I recorded with him, we were actually discussing some tools of the trade, and one of the tools of the trade was Kali Linux, which you can install on your Raspberry Pi. So it's a very easily accessible way to start learning some hacking skills, and I haven't dived into that yet, but you can install it, I'm pretty sure, for free. And then if you actually get serious about conducting the learning, you can actually purchase some lab time, and then there's a way to sort of record your activity, which, as Frank put it, was a way for you to really demonstrate your knowledge and is considered a pretty respected concept. I think it was an offensive security product or, you know, course they offered. So it's pretty cool, and it's super accessible. Again, with the same single board computer you're using for all these other cool things I just mentioned, you can actually learn a pretty cool skill. 5, control other devices and microcontrollers. This could mean another computer, a phone, an Arduino, and an Arduino could be controlling a bunch of stuff like machines or different devices. And this is another huge rabbit hole fire hose that you could exist in only doing that. I mean, the things that I've seen at tech events that are controlled by a Raspberry Pi and then an Arduino are just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, consider you could basically control any machine. It could be like something huge, like a refinery or a factory, or it could be something super small, like maybe a few different smaller devices and breadboards, and you're sort of running a simulation of a circuit. Like an Arduino is really good for like kind of building out your own electronics prototype. But I mean, when you really start chaining these things together, I mean, we're talking about a serious engine for operating, you know? So like I said, that could be a whole life's work just on this fun thing I'm talking about. Okay, 6, create your own homebrewed PBX corporate phone system. Yes, the ones that you have at work, at your office, at the corporations, you can actually do that with a Raspberry Pi. And this one, I'm going to have to tip my hat again to Network Chuck. And, you know, he just really gets after it. I mean, he is an IT guy, so I'm not surprised that he really gets after it. But I just love his videos and how much he makes it accessible and makes you feel like you can do it. And guess what? You definitely can. So I'll link to the instruction for that in the show notes. And don't be surprised if in an evening or weekend, playing around, you might actually be able to do that. So here's another one that I think is really useful. Number 7, create your own persistent local data storage. This ties in really nicely with the first one, talking about the media center. Well, where does that media live? It needs to live on some storage. And that could be as simple as a USB hard drive, an external one, or even a thumb drive hooked up to the Raspberry Pi and configured in a certain way where it sort of acts as a NAS storage. So there's many different ways you could do it. You could kind of just plug and play, like plug it in and just use it like a normal hard drive, if you will. But you could also configure like the NAS, like I said, and that's a little bit more advanced of a process, but that's a super, you know, you're like a little mini cloud storage operation when you do that. And that's another thing about the Pi that's so cool, is that you are doing things on a small scale, but you're doing like little mini micro nano industrial concepts, you know, like things that the big players like Google and Amazon and Facebook and others are doing. And you're doing it on your small scale, you know, in your living room or room or man cave or woman cave or whatever you got, you know, others cave. So there, you know, it's pretty fun. You can definitely, again, have your own access to your own data. And again, you're nice and protected if the internet goes out, maybe not if the power goes out, unless you're on battery, but it's definitely a great one. So number 8, again, hat tip to Network Chuck for this one, create your own website on the dark net. Now you might be thinking, darknet, why would you promote that? Well, the darknet is not anything bad. It is a little sketchy from the perspective of there can be very weird information on there. There can definitely be risks to your personal data. Like, you definitely wouldn't want to go on there signed in on your normal computer. You know, definitely there's risks and concerns. But if you think of it as a medium, like what web would that be? Would that be dark web 1? Which web are we on for the darknet? If anyone knows, let me know. You know, so you can actually do that. Again, this was like a, you know, a few beer session one evening. I just followed exactly what Network Chuck recommended in his video, and it really worked. I was blown away, actually. I followed exactly what he said. You know, you had to set up a few different things. Like, I set up Nginx and a couple other things I can't remember. And he literally has, you know, spit out an Onion website. I wrote like a line of text on it, like, hello, I'm Aaron. And I literally went to that Onion site and it opened up a window that said, hey, I'm Aaron. I mean, yeah, it was nothing special. I just wrote like a line of text in HTML, but that was so freaking cool. I have no business doing these kind of things from the background that I've typically had up till this point. So I thought that was so fun and cool. And you could do something more with that. Maybe that could be a fun, like, somewhat gimmick, if you will, or a marketing thing. You know, I was thinking about creating like a Web3 website and doing something cool there, like send people to that site. And obviously a great way to learn about Web3, but also maybe give people some payoff. Why not do the same with the darknet? I don't know what I would give you. Nothing illegal, of course, but yeah, maybe something fun, right? Like, you could have some kind of game or code or little adventure with something like that. Okay, number 9, mine Monero cryptocurrency. Now, before you pipe up and say, it's not worth it, it's not worth it. Hey, did you know it's not worth it? You know, I think that I might have heard some people on the internet said it's not worth it. Well, guess what? We're not doing it for the money. We're doing it for the learning, because that's what we do here. Educational purposes only, always, here at ETM. So too bad. You know, mining Monero, people are doing CPUs. I don't know. Mining's had a little bit of a tough time from a profitability standpoint lately, but it's really cool as a proof of concept. And just the fact that you say you did, and also a great way to learn about crypto if you really want to get in the trenches a little bit. And, you know, Monero's this privacy coin. We have an article about that. It's really neat that you can do that. So I would say treat that more as a strictly learning quest, if you will. And I actually think you will possibly enjoy it. And, you know, you get to learn a little bit about how blockchains work, how do you interact with them. You know, you're basically contributing your proof of work. So you're helping to solve a puzzle, because that crypto is a proof of work where you have to actually solve some puzzles through your computers. There's other cryptos that have other consensus algorithms, like delegated proof of stake. I did that episode on Telos, and that's a whole different setup. You actually have people still running tech like Raspberry Pis, but they're actually validating transactions, which is a whole different program to be running. You're not really mining, you're just running a program that is helping to validate transactions, and you're responsible for that as your role and you get paid for that role. But with proof of work, you're running your computer to solve puzzles. And that's why it's kind of fun to just, you know, do your little, like, whatever you earn, you know, 0.001 penny a day or whatever it is. Again, not for profit, educational purposes only, and learning. All right, number 10. This goes with one of the last ones I said. Create your own closed circuit security camera. So obviously you need to get a camera first. So that other tip I mentioned. But again, once you have a camera, that's opening up a whole nother level of value for you, because now you have a camera. Well, what are you going to do with the camera? Oh, you could do a bunch of YouTube videos or have a video podcast or film myself recording this, which I'm actually thinking I should do. So you guys could even see where I'm standing as I do this, because I like to do it standing up. But you could absolutely have your own security camera. And I think that's really neat, because there's a lot of concerns with stuff like Ring doorbell, with data privacy and security, and our information being given to the police when they are requested, the company is requested. So I think there's something really powerful and cool about you having your own camera under your own control. And frankly, you always hear about cameras going down or not working, or, oh, the backup was lost, or the cloud got lost. So I think that there's a lot of power in doing it this way. So definitely something to think about. But anyway, let's keep this nice and tight episode. And I think that's plenty for you to check out. I'm going to work on another list like this. And I kind of just went off the top of my head that stuff I had seen that I thought was pretty practical. But I'm definitely going to continue to gather cool things like this. And maybe I'll do another episode like this so that we can have even more cool things to do with the Pi. And yeah, definitely once you get it, there's so many things you can do. They're not paying me. It's just something I'm very enthusiastic about, as you can tell. All right, everyone, you have a great day, and I will see you in one of these Singapore computers. Have a great one.
I'm really deep in the pie.